thankful that the Lord has blessed us with this opportunity. And we've enjoyed the services thus far and hope that you will continue to pray for us as we stand before you. I'd like to begin in the 33rd chapter of Ezekiel. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, When I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him, but he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth, and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Well, there's much more reading here that goes along with this, and I'm sure there would be a lot more contained if I were to go ahead and read, and possibly the reading of it would edify you. But go home and read the rest of this, and you can tie it in with the remarks that I will bring to your attention. Now, I realize that this is recorded in the Old Testament. And a lot of people try to tell us to stay away from the Old Testament, that those things were law and it was just for the Israelites back in that day and age. And maybe there's a little history over there that we can go and read, but a lot of people try to tell us that those things are no good for us. But I find where Paul has recorded, I believe somewhere in the Roman letter, that those things were written aforetime for our learning. Now, I realize many of the ceremonial things that they had to go through are not for us to practice in this day and age, but there are many symbols and many things back there, types and shadows, that we can draw knowledge from. And here is one example here when he speaks of the watchman. Now, there is a very good lesson here contained in this chapter, and I believe Ezekiel records it also in the third chapter. And The watchman here, I believe, is typical of the preacher of God in this day and age. The minister is a watchman that is set upon the gates of Zion. And he is to look out and see the enemy when they come. And he is to warn the people when he does see the enemy. He says that if the people of the land, he says, When I bring sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him for their watchman. Now, here's something I've just noticed, that he said a man of their coast. And I believe this has a little reference to the authority of a man to preach. We're not to take a man out here that is our enemy and set him as a watchman over us, because if the enemy comes, he's not very likely to tell us when the enemy comes. But we are to take a man of our own coast, of our own belief, and one that has been called of the Spirit of God, and set him as a watchman over us. And he should look and see when the sword comes and blow the trumpet when he sees it come. Now here he tells us that if he blows the trumpet, if he sees the enemy coming, and he does sound the alarm, if the people do not hear and regard the alarm, then they shall be destroyed because of their iniquity, but the blood shall be upon their own head. They shall suffer their own consequences. But he says that if the preacher does not sound the alarm, if the watchman doesn't blow the trumpet, when he sees the enemy coming. Well, the people may yet be destroyed, but the blood shall be determined upon the watchman's head. It will be his responsibility, and he will suffer the consequences for it. So we, as ministers of God, we have the responsibility to preach unto the people what the Lord has laid upon us, a responsibility to preach. Not only do we preach salvation by grace and the beauties that we love to revel in, as the brother made mention of, and I think this is necessary for us to preach over and over again. It's beautiful to hear. But not only this, we are to preach the responsibility that we as God's people have to perform. You know, over in 2 Timothy, the third chapter, and here in the 16th verse, he tells us that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Notice here, he tells us what the purpose of the gospel is for. He says that the gospel is for doctrine. I believe this has reference to all the teachings of the Word of God. Not only grace, but he continues on and lists three other things here that have reference to our duty here in this world. He says it's for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. Now, I don't believe it's a very joyful thing for a minister to have to get before God's people and to correct them and to reprove them. But sometimes these things are necessary. And sometimes we have to lay aside, you might say, some of the joy, some of the joyous things, and take upon ourselves the responsibility that is upon our shoulders, and to warn the people that if they don't flee from their wicked ways, they're going to be punished by the sword. He says, so thou, son of man, he's speaking to Ezekiel here, but I believe we can put ourselves in this watchman's place if indeed we are true ministers of the gospel. He said, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Now, ye are the house of Israel today. The kingdom of God upon this earth, which I believe is the Primitive Baptist Church, I believe we are the true kingdom, the true church of Christ. We are the house of Israel. And we as ministers are set as watchmen on the gate of the house of Israel. And he says, therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. Now here he says that we are to warn the people of God, that we are to warn the people of his wrath. He says, when I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Now, a minister of God that will forsake his responsibility and always preach unto the congregation smooth things and will not preach the responsibility of the people, then he's going to suffer the consequences. The people may go into error. They may do some type of ungodliness and go against the practice of the Primitive Baptist Church, but this will not necessarily be their own fault. You know, there's a lot of things that Primitive Baptists fall short on, but a lot of times the reason is they're ignorant. They're not been taught by their pastors or their the ministers of God the things that they are to do. Now, hopefully you have in this this section of the country, faithful ministers. I believe that you do, that will preach unto you the things that you are to do in keeping with the commandments of God. We are to cry unto the wicked. A lot of times the wicked don't like to hear that they're wicked. They don't like to hear that they're sinful, and they don't like to hear that they've gone contrary to the Word of God. A lot of people try to justify their actions. They try to say that we're doing what we think is best. Well, the thing is, a lot of times what we think is best is not what God has established for us to follow. We have standards that we have to bear. You know, back in the days of Moses, when the Israelites were brought out of the bondage of Egypt, they had standard bearers of their different tribes, and they were to follow those standard bearers. And we have the standard recorded here in the Word of God. Now, if we follow any commandments of man, if we follow any other standards besides thus saith the Word of God, we're going to go into error. And we need to remember to study. Not only should the minister study to show himself approved, but the people of God, the laity, is also to study. If a preacher gets up here and he studied hard and he studied long and learned the Word of God and the truth and preaches to you and you have not studied, a lot of times then you can't relate to what he's speaking about. A lot of times people will tell us that the ministers, you know, that they preach over my head a lot of times. And a lot of times the reason for this is because the people have not studied to find out what the Word of God says about certain things. So the laity needs to also know the standards that are within the Word of God. In case a minister does come along that does preach heresy and does preach something that we should not go along with, then we will know by the Word of God whether he's preaching right or whether he's preaching wrong. So we need to follow our duty while here in this life. If we're wicked, we need to turn from our wicked ways. You know, this verse of Scripture has been quoted several times as we've gone on our journey in the 2 Chronicles, I believe it is, 7 and 13 and 14. God said here that if I shut up heaven, that there be no rain. And if I send pestilence among the land and things of this nature, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and God will hear their and I will heal their land. So this is something that is necessary for us to remember. If we do not remember to turn from our wicked ways and to humble ourselves and to pray and things of this nature, then we can rest assured that our land's not going to be healed. Now, here's a prescription that we need to follow. You know, a lot of times we go to the doctor because we're in ill health, and he gives us a prescription. Now, if we don't follow that prescription, very likely we're not going to be feeling very much better. We're not going to heal ourselves. But we seem to put more importance on natural health than we do on our spiritual health. And we need to remember that our spiritual health is more important, actually, than our natural health here in this time world. There's a lot of people that are afflicted in body, and they still can enjoy the blessings of God. I'm thankful that there are those here today that seemingly are afflicted in body and they have some physical impairment, but yet they've made the effort to come out here today to worship and serve God, to glorify his holy name. And yet their spiritual health is probably a lot better off than any of us that have our natural health about us. We need to take the prescription that God has required for us. You know, the minister of God is also a physician. He needs to prescribe unto the people the things to heal their ailments. And the minister should be a capable enough doctor that he can look out and see the symptoms. He can see what is wrong with the people, and he should be well aware of the environment and the situations that are at hand. If he is not one that is capable enough, we should have one that is capable enough to see the sickness that might be upon us. And we should have one that is faithful enough to tell us what to do about our sicknesses. You know, we wouldn't go to a doctor that we didn't feel was capable enough to take care of us. Or we wouldn't go to a doctor that we felt, even though he was capable of seeing after our symptoms, and yet he wouldn't prescribe unto us something to make us better, we wouldn't go to that doctor very often. But we want a doctor that is capable of reading the situation, reading the symptoms, and then prescribing and telling us what to do to get better. Now, this is a faithful minister of God that will tell you these things. A lot of ministers just don't have the courage or the spiritual fortitude to get up and tell God's people something that sometimes they don't like to hear. Now, Paul said something to this effect. He said, "Do I yet try to please men or to please God?" Now, the thing is, if a minister of God is called of God, he's called to please God, not necessarily the people. Amen. But if the people want to please God, then they're going to be pleased by what the minister of God is trying to tell them. Now, whenever a minister gets before you and maybe steps on your toes or something of this nature, don't fall out with the minister. He's only doing what God has put upon his shoulders to do. And if he is faithful enough and if he loves you enough, he's going to do what is his responsibility to do. A lot of times whenever a minister gets up and tells you something of this nature, it's only because he loves you. Now, if I had been raised by parents that never corrected me, never told me that I'm not to do bad things or anything of this nature, then I might get to wondering a lot of times whether my parents really loved me or not. Thank God I had parents that were faithful enough to teach me the right ways that I was to live in. And you should look at your pastor in this same light. If he will teach you the truth of God, not only in grace, but also in duty, then you can rest assured he loves you, he cares about you, he wants you to grow up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So we need to, as ministers of God, to be faithful to do this, and those of the congregation need to be faithful to hear and to understand and do what is prescribed for us to do. Then he goes on down to say, "Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel?" He says here that I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. In other words, God is not pleased that we do wicked things and then he bring judgment upon us. He's not a God that lives in heaven and gets his kicks out of judging people and punishing them, but he desires for us to do good and to enjoy the benefits thereof. He doesn't get pleasure in the death of the wicked, although he has told us that if we live wickedly, then we shall die and we shall be punished as people of God. Then he said, "Therefore, thou son of man, say unto the children of thy people, the righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver him in the day of his transgression. As for the wickedness of the wicked, he shall not fall thereby in the day that he turneth from his wickedness. Neither shall the righteous be able to live for his righteousness in the day that he sinneth. When I shall say to the righteous that he shall surely live, if he trust to his own righteousness and commit iniquity, all his righteousness shall not be remembered. Before his iniquity that he hath committed, he shall die for it." Now here he's telling us that maybe we've lived righteously. Maybe we've done up to a certain point, as thus saith the word of the Lord. But if we go contrary to that, if we look to our own righteousness and commit iniquity and do something contrary to the word of God, he's not going to remember all the righteousnesses that we've committed in the past, but he's going to punish us for the sins that are at present. And he says also those that are wicked. I'm not going to let you fall away because of all the wickedness that you've done in the past, but I'm going to judge you if you turn from your wickedness and come and live in the way that is right for you to live, then I'll judge you by your righteousness. So we need to remember these things. The wickedness that a man commits in this life, we as people of God can't sin too much for the Lord, if you will, as far as his forgiveness is concerned. But as far as the church of God is concerned, we can get ourselves in certain conditions that we cannot live within the household of God. But if we repent from our wickedness, then he has taught us that he will forgive us if we truly repent. Then he says, again, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, if he turn from his sin and do that which is lawful and right, if the wicked restore the pledge, give again that he had robbed, walk in the statutes of life without committing iniquity, he shall surely live, he shall not die. None of his sins that he hath committed shall be mentioned unto him. He hath done that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live. Now I'd like to go over to the 30th chapter of Deuteronomy and bring my remarks to a close. In the 11th verse he says, "For this commandment which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, it is not, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, Who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, Who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it." Now here he's telling us that the commandments of the Lord is not far off from us. It's not in some other country that or across the sea that we have to send somebody over there to get it for us. And neither is it in heaven above that we should send someone up there to get it for us. But he says that the word is very nigh unto thee. It is even within thy heart. Now, I believe it's over in Jeremiah recorded somewhere, and even in Hebrews, I believe it refers to Jeremiah, that he says, "In that day shall I write my laws in their heart and my statutes in their minds." And this is the condition that we stand in. Whenever we are born of the Spirit of God, His Word is very close unto us. We have His Spirit within us that will convict us when we do wrong and encourage us when we do right in the sight of God. And we should not try to put off the Word of God and say it's too hard for us to understand. It's something that is far off from us, but it is very nigh unto us, and we need to listen to the Word of God. He says, "See, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil. And that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shalt be drawn away, and worship other gods, and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and it that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him. For he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give them." Now notice here he says he has set before us this day life and death, blessing and a curse. And he says, choose you life, therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Now, he's not talking about eternal life. If he were, then there'd be so many contradictions in the Word of God, we could just cast it aside. But here, he's talking about life, the abundance of life, which is spoken about, I believe, in Matthew, the abundant life. You know, we're naturally alive a lot of times, but we're not spiritually alive. We're not enjoying the fullness of our spiritual life. A lot of times we choose cursing and death. We go contrary to the Word of God and we suffer death spiritually because of that. And we should choose life, and the Lord is our life. He says here in the last verse of this, "For he is thy life and the length of thy days." So if we will choose the Lord and his ways, then we will have life. We will have blessing. We will have enjoyment within the household of faith. And he says, he is the length of thy days, for that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. Now, we're not inhabiting natural Canaan's land nowadays. We're not living in the city of Jerusalem. But we're living in the spiritual city of God. We're living in this spiritual land which was promised to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and our fathers, our Jewish fathers. So this land that we have as the church of God, he has promised that we will have length of days within this land if we will follow after his commandments. You know, there's many other places in Deuteronomy and few chapters in Leviticus that would be go to compare these things, but he says in many places over there that I have commanded thee this day that if thou wilt hearken unto my word and follow after my commandments, then I will bless you in all types of blessings. He says in one place, blessed shalt thou be in the field, and blessed shalt thou be in the orchard, and things of this nature. The fruit of thy lambs and the fruit of thy cattle and things of this shall be abundant. And he says, and even in the battlefield, I will bless you. He said, 10 shall put 100 of your enemy to flight, and 100 of yours shall put 1,000 of your enemy to flight. He has promised that as far as our land and as far as natural things and as far as spiritual things go, if we're obedient, he will see to our needs. He will take care of us. He will fight our battles for us. We will enjoy life. We will enjoy happiness. We will enjoy joy and peace. And this is something that we need to be concerned about. None of us like to suffer. None of us like to have our enemies take us over. None of us like to be depressed or have our land not produce for us. So why not do what God has prescribed for us to do? And that is to live in obedience to him. I hope you've gotten some good out of these things. And I appreciate the opportunity to be here and hope that if you ever have any opportunity to be in West Tennessee, that you'll come by and visit with us. We thank you.